Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was growing up, my favorite part of, Easter was that we used to go to an Easter sunrise service, and there was just something about getting up early and going to sunrise and the new break of the day and everything. There was this excitement to it. That excitement, I think it's in, I'm just curious about what the experience of those first women were, those first disciples were when they got up that morning. And I think it's important to remember what they had just been through. Because in the last 72 hours of their lives, they had been through one of the most traumatic experiences. They had seen on Thursday, they'd seen their friend Judas betray their other friend and teacher Jesus, which is already a huge disruption. They'd seen Jesus being taken captive by the Roman soldiers. They'd seen Peter deny Christ and then deny Jesus, deny that he even knew Jesus. And then as he's taken, the rest of them flee. So they're bearing this sense that they themselves have run away. And then on Friday, they see this man that they love tortured and brutally murdered on a cross. But these are people who, I can't even begin to imagine what that was like for these disciples to experience. That's what they're bearing on Sunday morning, that first day of the week when they come to the tomb. And that's where these stories begin. We have four stories about the resurrection. There's one in Matthew, one in Mark, one in Luke, and one in John. And they're all slightly different from each other, which is also curious and interesting. I'm going to read just the one. We heard the one from John. I'm going to read the one from Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and then Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's how the book ends. I mean, most scholars agree that's how the original book of Mark ends. They were afraid. Terror and amazement had seized them, and they were afraid, and they're afraid to tell anyone. I find that very curious. We have, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the women who are going to anoint Jesus and bringing the spices. In the book of John, it's actually the men. It's Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who anoint Jesus. Mark has three women going to the tomb. Matthew has two women. Luke has three plus women. And John has Mary Magdalene only. And all of them agree that Mary Magdalene was there. Mark and Matthew have two angels. Mark and Matthew have one angel. Mark and Luke have two. Three of them have the stone rolled away already, but in Matthew, the stone is there and there's guards and there's this earthquake that moves away the stone. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus, the angel tells them to go to Galilee. In Luke and John, they stay in Jerusalem. And in Matthew, the women reach down and touch Jesus. They see Jesus and they touch Jesus. And in John, Jesus says, "Don't touch me." There's all kinds of different stories around this telling. And it's curious because, it's kind of what you would expect, I would think, given that these are four different people telling a story decades after the fact, in different places, It's curious because Matthew and Luke obviously knew Mark, and they still tell a different story. What's curious, though, is what they agree on. It's not the differences, it's what they agree on. They all agree that it happened on the first day of the week. I mean, none of them say it was Tuesday or Friday or Saturday. They all say it was the first day of the week. They all agree that the women were there first, and that specifically Mary Magdalene was there first. And that the message, they saw this empty tomb, and the message they heard was, the Lord is risen. And they all agree that when they go and tell the men don't believe them. Luke says the men thought it was an idle women's tale. And later Luke, and this question of, do we believe this? Do we not believe this? Is this real? Did this really happen? Actually persists in all the stories. There is this sense that some people believe, and then still others, they're not sure and they don't believe, and sometimes it's two at the same time. Luke has them saying, in the first appearance in Luke to the disciples is on the road to Emmaus, and they see Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and he shows them his hands and feet, and Luke says, while in their joy, they were still disbelieving. They're both experiencing the experience of it and the joy of it and the disbelief of it at the same time. And all of them also agree that there's this mix of terror and amazement, of fear and elation, of despair and joy. Now the question is, what do we make of that? The Christian church has been struggling to make sense of all of this. Do we believe it? Do we not believe it? What does it mean? There's a famous biblical scholar named Marcus Borg who, for him, he noted that there's a lot of people who think that what happened was that what this Easter thing is all about is the fact that some corpse got resurrected 2,000 years ago, and that's why we celebrate. And I think there's some truth to that, that actually is a really thin reading of the Christian understanding. That if what we're doing today is simply celebrating the fact that a corpse got resurrected 2,000 years ago, that's kind of a thin version of Christianity. Like, if you believe that this corpse got resurrected 2,000 years ago, you get to go to heaven. A lot of people think that that's what Christianity is all about. It's about getting you into heaven or hell, and that somehow this thing happened. And actually, the Christian faith is much deeper than that. It's much more profound than that. What resurrection has meant within the Christian tradition is that there is life that is deeper and stronger and more powerful than death. And that in the end, death doesn't win. Death doesn't have the last say. And as a metaphor for that, as a metaphor for the truth of that, you just need to look at the natural world. One of the earliest Christian stories is that God creates Adam, the human, out of clay, out of dirt, out of the mud and soil of the earth. And God breathes God's breath into Adam. And the sign and the symbol of that is, we are creatures of the earth. It's from this earth that we come. It's from this earth that we live. And God, who is the creator and giver of all good things, gives us this place, this beautiful place to live in. And you need only look at the earth to see that there is life that is deeper and more persistent and more profound than death. That's what spring is every year. It's the resurrection of life after a period of death. It's the persistence of life even after death. Christianity has not only just said that there is a life that's deeper than death and that death doesn't have the last word. I mean, this whole Easter story is really about the way that this suffering, this pain, this agony, this torture, this lostness, is the way that God takes it and reworks it and makes it into something new. The way that it is made into new life. The way that death itself can be transformed and be reworked, and with the breath of the Spirit of God become life itself. That's what resurrection is all about. That's what Christians celebrate on this day. It's this proclamation that Christ is risen, and there is something powerful about the persistence of life and the power of life to rework the brokenness and pain and hurt in our own experience. That's why I'm a Christian, because I believe that to the core of my soul. That I find that a compelling way to believe and a compelling way to stand in this world, that no, I do believe that life wins, ultimately. And that God meets us in the midst of our suffering and pain and transforms it and reworks it and makes it something new and something glorious. Which brings us to that gospel story about Mary Magdalene. In the midst of her trauma and in the midst of her pain on that first day of the week, she shows up to the tomb and she expects death. And she sees that the stone has been rolled away, and that is more than she can bear. Because it means that something is off, something is wrong. It feels like somebody has come and stolen the body of Jesus, and that is just insult upon injury. And she runs to tell the disciples. Peter and John somehow start running to the tomb. They do this man thing where they try to race to the tomb to see who gets there first. It's just odd. And they look in and they see the cloth wrapped there, and they go back. And Mary stands there weeping. And she looks in the tomb and she sees these two men. She's weeping, and they say to her, "Why are you weeping?" And somebody pointed out to me this week, they're like, "Well, isn't that just like a man to ask a woman, why is she weeping?" Two men in this instance, right? So she turns and she encounters this other man, and the first thing he says to her is, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she thinks he's a gardener. And so she says in her desperation, she's like, "Sir, if you've taken the body, please give it back to us so that we can bury it." And this man who she thinks is the gardener says to her, "Mary." And she hears the sound of her name. She knows that in that moment she is known, she is understood, and her eyes are opened. And she sees Jesus standing there. And she's the first one that goes back and tells everyone else. She came to the tomb expecting death and despair, and instead she countered life. And she went back and she told the disciples that the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.